This is lesson HBS 147, and the title of this lesson is The Five Full-Time Ministries, an Overview. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'd like to read a passage there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be talking about these administrations of the Lord, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where this is first mentioned in the Bible, so I'd like to read from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's start with verse 1, and then we'll skip down and read verses 4, 5, and 6. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The whole purpose of God telling us about all these spiritual gifts that we're going to be discussing is so the body of Christ won't be ignorant either what these gifts are or how they're manifested or how he wants us to use them in the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus, the head of the church, when he walked the earth, he just ministered these gifts on his own. Now he calls us his body, and he expects us to do the works that he did, as we've discussed before in these lessons. So to do these works, he's given us certain gifts, and we're going to be discussing these gifts. And the gifts I'm going to be discussing in the next several lessons are called the administrations of the Lord. Let's go down to verse 4, and we'll find out why I'm calling them that. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, which we've already discussed, all the nine gifts of the Spirit, given also in this chapter. Verse 5. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, talking about the Lord Jesus, he gives us some administrations. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So here we see that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost is mentioned in regard to gifts that are going to be given to the body of Christ. So the whole Godhead is involved in this. But we're specifically interested now in gifts that Jesus has given to the church. And we're going to find out as we go along, there are about 19 of these separate gifts. And we're going to discuss each one of these gifts, except for the nine that we've already discussed, which those are the gifts of the Spirit given here. And I call these the administrations of the Lord, because Jesus gave these gifts. And they're called here administrations of the Lord in this chapter. Now, by administrations of the Lord, I mean Jesus, the head of the church, administers the gift and ministries we will be studying. He does this by both giving the gift in the first place and then regulating or overseeing the use of the gift. Now, it's kind of interesting, I think, that these gifts are all given in only three places in the Bible. If you read these three chapters in the Bible, you will have a listing of the gifts that Jesus gives to the church. All 19 of them. And these chapters are Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Romans chapter 12. So these three chapters taken together give us an overall summary of these approximately 19 gifts and ministries. Now I'd like to read quickly the appropriate sections in each of these three chapters before going over them in more detail later in the lesson. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 first. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 8 and 11. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, this is talking about Jesus, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Notice Jesus gave these gifts. Verse 11, what are the gifts? Here they are. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So here we have a listing of five gifts that Jesus has given to the body of Christ. Now, these are called the fivefold ministries, and they are full-time ministries. So there's five of them: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now, these are the only five full-time ministries that we'll be discussing in these lessons. Now, let's go read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 for another listing of these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So here we have another listing of some gifts Jesus gave to the church. There's some duplication from the first set that we read in Ephesians chapter 4, and then there's also a few new things discussed. And we'll be discussing these in detail later, as I said. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and read the gifts there that are given to the church. And then this will be the last place that we will read, because all the gifts are summarized in these three chapters. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches, on teaching, or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. So here we have another listing of the gifts that Jesus gives to the church. Three different places, three sets of gifts. Now, as I said before, if you go through here, and you can't total them up yet because some of these things are duplicated in one place or another, and I'll explain that in a minute, but there's approximately 19 different gifts. Of those 19, as I said before, 9 are gifts of the Spirit, which we've already discussed in previous lessons where I've taken a whole lesson for each gift. So we won't be discussing those gifts anymore in any detail. So if you take a total of 19 gifts that I've just talked about and subtract those 9, that leaves us about 10 more gifts to discuss in some detail in the coming lessons. So here we see in these three chapters, all the administrations of the Lord are listed. There are some duplications, but each list also adds something new. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start going through these gifts in a little more detail, but not the full detail that we're going to get as we take each one of these gifts in either a separate lesson or maybe two to a lesson. But right now, I just want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and discuss these gifts in a little more detail. All right, let's read Ephesians chapter 4 again, and we'll read verses 7 through 14. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, here's what he did. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he do this? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. And he did it how long? Till we all come into a unity of the faith and of a knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Why did he do this? That we would henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, with the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All right, here we are. We've given a list now of the 5 full-time ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and the teacher. Now, these 5 ministries or offices are often called the fivefold ministry, and they're the only full-time ministries given to the church. Now, by full-time, I mean they're both full-time as a vocation on a person and will abide on the person to some degree for the rest of his life. Remember Romans 11:29 that we read in the past. It says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means once God's called us to a gift or ministry, that anointing and the power to operate that gift resides on the person for life. And it also means that God does not change his mind once he's given the gift. The gift that we receive, the ministry we receive from the Lord, is not ours to choose. That's God's choice for us. He knows us better than anyone. He knows all our little foibles and personality quirks and pluses and minuses of our personality, and he's able to use our personalities in special ways as he gives these gifts to various persons in the body of Christ. Now, so that's why God gives these gifts. We don't give these gifts to ourselves. God gives these gifts. Remember, it says he gave to the church. In another place, it says God set these in the church. So we don't set ourselves in a certain ministry. I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But God does. Now, there are other ministries besides these five-fold ministries that abide on the person for life. And we'll discuss those. But they're not full-time ministries, like in the sense of a vocation. An example of these that aren't full-time in the sense of a vocation, we'll talk about later, they would be gifts and ministries normally residing on the laity. And we'll discuss that later. But these full-time gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are something that resides on a person for life, and it's pretty much a full-time job, if you will. Take a pastor, for example. When God calls a person to be a pastor, they basically spend their time during the week pretty exclusively on fulfilling the duties of their pastorate. And the same with the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher. These are full-time ministries. And they will abide on the person for life, as I say. Now, all the five-fold ministries are in operation in the church to the present day. Why? How can I say that? Because there's always going to be people who don't know Christ or will be babes in Christ, and they will need these ministries. It's obvious. They need pastors. They need teachers. They need evangelists just to get the word out that there is something being offered called Jesus Christ. And through faith in Jesus, they can be saved. So these ministries, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, the need for these has not gone away. And these same ministries are in the church today. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher were not only present in the early church, they're present in the church to this day, as I said, because there's always going to be babes in Christ, and there's always going to be someone that needs to hear the word on salvation. Now, when God calls anyone to a specific office in the body of Christ, he will give them the anointing to function effectively in that office. God doesn't just call us to an office and leave us on our own to figure out as best we can how to operate that office. He doesn't say, Joe, you're going to be a teacher. Go out and teach. No, he gives you the anointing and the power to stand in that office if he calls you to that office. And that's nice to know. When the chips are down and God calls you to go and talk to somebody or puts you in an office, it's nice to know that God is going to go with you and to give you the power and the anointing to perform that which he's called you to do. We're not on our own. Therefore, the ministry validity of any of these fivefold ministries will be known by the power, not by the name. In other words, what I'm saying here is, if you're called to one of these fivefold ministries, your ministry will be known by the power and the anointing that's on the ministry, not by any name we may give it. We don't go and say, I'm a teacher, or I'm a pastor, or I'm an apostle, and then go and operate in that just on the basis of us giving a name to ourselves, or even if someone else gives us a name, says, you sure sound like a teacher to me. No, that's not the way you stand in one of these offices. No, God must call you to the office, and we'll talk about that some more in a minute. And so the ministry validity will be known by the power, not by a name. Putting a label on something does not make it that thing. And so if you've got that ministry gift in you, it will strive and work in you to come out. You will be then known by the power and the anointing on that gift, and not by the fact that you called yourself to this office. I'll say one more little bit on this thing. I've known people, and it's kind of sad to say this, that have called themselves to various offices. They simply wanted to be in the ministry, and they simply wanted to be a pastor, or they simply wanted to be a teacher. And so they called themselves to this basically because they wanted people to notice that they were in this ministry, and they wanted to have some authority. So they would go about and they would tell people, God's called me to be a pastor, and we're going to start this church in our home, and we're inviting you all to come on Sunday and partake of the ministry that we, well, start in our home, and we hope to later build a church, and they tell you all about that. And so people that go to these things where people on their own call themselves, it's a sad group, folks. They're being led by someone who's never been called to this thing. The ministry is completely in the flesh. They may have a slight teaching gift or a gift of talking to people, but it won't be known by the anointing or power on that gift. And people, normal Christians, will be able to sense this very quickly. But sad to say, there are some people who don't seem to sense this right away. They have a real need to be with people, and so they pump up these people and tell them their ministries are great, and they stumble along, and none of it's of the Lord. And sooner or later, these ministries get in a mess, and they don't end well. And then everything dissolves, and then these people, I know several myself, will pause for a while, things didn't work out, then pretty soon, here they go again, they're starting up another church, or they're starting another teaching ministry, and they're going again. And folks, it's the most dangerous thing in the world to call yourself to a ministry. It can open up the door to the devil and start a real mess in the body of Christ. Folks, these ministries that we're talking about here are God-given. You're called to these ministries. Man cannot call himself to any of these fivefold ministries, or really any of the ministries we're going to be discussing. It's just more catastrophic when a person calls himself to one of these fivefold ministries, because more people are affected negatively. So I just leave it there that these gifts, it says, remember it says right here in verse 11, talking about Jesus, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. We don't give these gifts to ourselves. We can't do that. And we're just asking for trouble if we get involved on our own strength. Now, having said that, you might ask, well, how do I know if I am called to one of these ministries? If you're called to one of these ministries, it will work within you to the point where it has to come out. Okay, whether it's a teacher, a pastor, evangelist, whatever it is in these gifts, it will work within you. Remember that we read some of these verses before. If you turn to Philippians chapter 2, I'll read you what happens if you're called inside. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Now, here's what happens inside if you're called to one of these ministries. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If you're called to one of these ministries, God will work so strongly in you, both to want to and to then finally do of his good pleasure. That is, it will have to come out if God's called you. Now let me read you one more scripture, and it's in Colossians, and it's Colossians 1:29. Paul's talking here, but it works the same way in all the people who are called. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. See, it says here that if you're called, talking about this, you will labor and strive according to the thing which is working in you mightily. Folks, if you're called to a ministry, something will work inside of you to the point where you think, I have to do this. You're not going to be happy unless you're doing it. You're not going to feel fulfilled unless you're doing it. Something will be striving deep within you to have this ministry come out. Not in your mind, but in your spirit. See, the people we talked about before that get in trouble, it's in their mind. They think they're called. They want to be called. They want to be known as a pastor. They want to be known as a teacher. They want to be known as an evangelist. And so they call themselves from their mind. But folks, we're talking about being called from your spirit here. It says here, I labor, striving according to that thing that works in me mightily. Not in your mind, but in your very innermost being, in your spirit. And in Philippians, remember, it says, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, if it's him. In other words, it's not going to be an idea in your mind, I think I'll do this, I think I want to do this. It's going to be God working in you. It's going to be God pushing this thing through, not you pushing this thing through. And he will work within you, in your spirit, not in your mind, fulfill the ministry he's called you to. Now, I mentioned before, and I'll mention it again briefly here, that when I was called, it was building up inside of me, just like I've described here, to the point where I told my wife, if I don't teach soon, I'm going to explode. Now, that's exactly what I said. God was working in me mightily to start teaching. I had just moved to a new area. I hadn't done much teaching at all. And all of a sudden, I sensed this building up inside to teach the Word of God. I had done some teaching, but not to the degree I was going to be doing it in the future. And God was letting me know by letting this need to get this out to build up inside. I was preparing lessons. Things were running through my mind and my spirit that I never saw from the Word of God before that I wanted to tell somebody about. And so I told my wife, I said, if I don't teach soon, I'm going to explode. And sure enough, that fulfilling of that need was fulfilled. And that's when I began to start teaching some of these lessons. And God said, record them as well that are you're listening to now. All of these lessons I saved over a period of time because God said save them. And this teaching had to come out, and God provided an avenue. If God provides this working within you, He will also provide the avenue. So just keep your spiritual antenna up. He may want you to start something, or you may be called by someone else to do something. But at any rate, the thing to remember is that God will be the one working in you to make this thing come out. It won't be something in our minds. It will be something in our spirits. It won't be something to fulfill a need in our life in terms of recognition or something. That would be wrong. That wouldn't be God. It will be a need just to get out that which is God is working so strongly in you to get out. I can't explain it any better, folks. It's just a building up of something that has to come out. I've heard people describe it this way. It's just as the rooster has to crow. You're not going to keep the crowing out of him if he's a rooster. He's going to have to let it come out. And so that's kind of what I mean about these ministry gifts. It's not something we call ourselves to, but it's something that God calls us to. God sets these ministries in the church. Jesus gives the gifts. And so I've spent a little time on this because I want the people that are called to these ministries to be truly called and not just get excited by doing something for God that's all in their own strength. Okay? Now, I'm not saying don't go out and talk to your neighbor about Jesus or something like that. I'm not talking about that. We all have that obligation. But what I'm talking about is getting into one of these fivefold ministry gifts. These are full-time ministry gifts that God calls you to and not something that we call ourselves to. It's dangerous if we call ourselves. And another thing is, some people go around asking people to lay hands on them so they can receive some gift. They sense they don't have the gift. They'd like to have it. And so it's just, instead of starting out on their own, they would like to someone to lay hands upon them and get that gift. Now, folks, that isn't scriptural either. I've had people ask me, would you lay your hands on me so I can receive the gift that you have? And I had to sadly tell them, no, I can't do that. This is not the way it works. Now, if God tells someone to lay hands on somebody, that's a different matter. But for someone to ask you to do that so they'll receive a gift is unscriptural. Okay, well, we've covered that pretty well. Let's move on now. Now, there's one other thing I'd like to discuss before we leave this chapter, and that is, that's going to be Ephesians chapter 4 now, where we were. There's something else God gives. God gives the gift, and He gives the power and anointing to operate in the gift. But there's one thing that we have to do, and I call that the oil of the ministry. It's like you have a tool God gives you or an ability, but then to use that ability smoothly and without friction in the church, there's a certain oil that's needed for this gift to function properly. And that oil is called agape love. Now, we're going to see that in each case where the ministry gifts are listed, in these three chapters, agape love is listed as a requisite. It's listed right in the same chapter with these gifts and ministries. Now, without this love, your ministry, our ministry, whoever's ministry, is going to ring hollow. And many will not receive the degree of blessing they could have had from our ministry. I'll say that one more time. If we don't have this oil called agape love operating in our ministry, this gift will ring hollow with people. yes, there will be a gift there, but it won't work to the degree it's intended to work without this love. So you're saying to yourselves by now, well, where is this love mentioned in this chapter? We've read the gifts. Where's the love? Where's that mentioned? Well, let's go back now and read the first part of this chapter in chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Now, this comes right before the gifts are given in verse 11. I'll read. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, we're talking about vocations here, wherewith you are called. We're talking about callings and vocations here. How do we do this, Lord? How do I walk worthy of this calling that you put on my life? With all lowliness, with meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice that he starts this chapter off before he gets into listing the gifts and ministries with a little bit of a warning. Not a warning in a dire sense, but a warning in the sense that, now remember, you need this too, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And what are these things again? We can talk about this in more detail, and we will later, but with all lowliness, with all meekness. See, you need this lowliness. You need this meekness. You need this long suffering if you're going to be in the ministry, because there's going to be things that are going to come against you. They're going to challenge each one of these areas. For one thing, you need to be lowly and meek, because a ministry can lift you up, especially early in the ministry. You can start to be thinking of yourselves that, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job here. God's called me. He didn't call them. He called me to this. And there's a little element of pride that you can get involved in here. And that's why God says here, we need to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. How do we do that? With all lowliness, with all meekness, with long suffering. Folks, there's going to be times when you're going to have to just be quiet. There's going to be times when things go against us, it's not our fault, that we're just going to have to be quiet about it and suffer in peace. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, love suffers long and is kind while it's doing so. And we need folks to forbear one another in love. What does that mean? It means put up with one another in love. See, all these things are necessary. This oil is absolutely necessary for us to function in the ministries God's called us to. And we're going to see that each one of these ministries that we're going to be discussing, in each one of these three chapters, somewhere in there, around where the ministry gifts are listed, is going to be this admonition to love. And so, I call it the oil of the ministry. God can call you to the ministry. He can empower you in the ministry. He can anoint you in the ministry. But unless we have this love operating with us, it's never going to fulfill the full degree of what God intended. And so I'll just tell you that ahead of time. And as I go through these three places, three chapters, we'll be seeing in each case where this love is mentioned. Okay, now we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read a list of gifts and ministries given here. Our second chapter out of the three chapters. Let's start with verse 28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? And the answer there, of course, is no. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Now, they're talking about here the ministry gift of tongues, which is always accompanied by interpretation of tongues, as we've discussed in previous lessons. And do all have this ministry gift of tongues? No. But all believers filled with the Spirit do have the devotional gifts of tongues. But he's talking here about the public ministry of tongues. And do they all speak with tongues in this public ministry? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, here we have another list of ministries, and some of them are repeats of what we read in Ephesians chapter 4, and some are new, and some are other ways of describing some of the fivefold ministries, and I'll explain. All right, let's look first. Apostles, yes, we had those before. Secondarily, prophets, well, we read that too. Thirdly, teachers, that's not new. We read that in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, here's something new. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Now, you may be asking yourself, well, where's the evangelist here? Where's the pastor? If he's going to list the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher here, why doesn't he list the evangelist and the pastor? Well, folks, he really has. It's just that he's used a different way of doing it. For example, I believe that for evangelists, he's put down not the title of evangelist, but what evangelists are known for, and that is miracles and gifts of healing. A true New Testament evangelist, not an exhorter, we'll talk about that later, but an evangelist has the gifts of working of miracles and gifts of healing in their ministry. Now, how do I know that? Well, folks, remember that God wrote the Bible through the Holy Spirit, who moved upon men to put down what he wanted them to put down. He only gave us one example of an evangelist in the Bible, and that was Philip the evangelist in the book of Acts. Now, it talks about Philip's ministry as an evangelist in one chapter in Acts, and that's Acts chapter 8. And in that chapter, he not only preached the word of God to the people, but he also worked miracles and had gifts of healings operating in that ministry. So I believe that that is talking here about the evangelist. It's just instead of using the title evangelist, in this case, God has chosen to use what the evangelist will be known for in his ministry besides preaching the word of God. He will be known by signs and miracles in his ministry, a New Testament evangelist, especially in the early church when they were going out and preaching the word of God, and no one had ever even heard about Jesus Christ before. Or if they had, they didn't know much about it at all. They didn't know he'd risen from the dead. And so there was a great amount of miracles and gifts of healings as signs to the people that this truly was a work of God, that this Jesus truly was the Son of God. And they would back this up with miracles and signs. And so that's one of the hallmarks of the evangelist, really. Now, we look at another gift here, and we see helps. Take that helps and just set it aside temporarily, and we'll come back to that. Then governments. Governments, I believe, is another word for pastors. Pastors have to rule in the church. And we're going to see in Romans chapter 12 when we get there, one of the gifts is he that ruleth. Let him do it with diligence. That also, I believe, is a hallmark of the pastor. So here in this listing, we see that pastors and evangelists aren't mentioned per se, but they are mentioned, I believe, by the description of what they were going to be known for. And one of the things that pastor will be known for is governments, his ability to lead, his ability to organize, his ability to get everyone going in the same direction, so to speak. And so that then would be, I believe, the pastor here. And then diversities of tongues. So we see here two extra things, really, helps and diversities of tongues. Now, diversity of tongues is not new to us. It's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit we've previously discussed. But I believe it's brought out here and put in this list of ministries simply because these ministries, all of them, will have some of the nine gifts of the Spirit operating in their ministries. And God didn't want to leave that out. And one of these ministries will be the ministry of diversities of tongues. And of course, whenever we have the ministry of diversities of tongues, we also have the gift of interpretation that follows. And remember from our previous teaching, the gift of diversity of tongues plus interpretation of tongues is the equivalent of the prophetic gift. Prophecy is just in our native language, something that God wants said in a group or setting, where diversity of the tongues coupled with interpretation of tongues really performs the same function. It's just done in two different steps, possibly by two different people. one giving the tongue and one giving the interpretation. So I believe God wants us to know that these gifts will accompany these gifts of the Spirit will accompany these ministries. In other words, if you're a pastor and you're a Spirit-filled pastor, you should have some of the nine gifts of the Spirit operating in your ministry, and you will if you're called. Now, there's one other little gift here that's discussed, and that is helps. I'm not going to get into detail here about helps, but it's a very vital ministry in the body of Christ. And many of you out there that are listening to these lessons who are not called to the full-time ministry will be called to this ministry of helps, which we'll discuss later. But just set that aside for now as a new ministry that hasn't been given before. So in this list, we've talked about apostles, we've talked about prophets, we've talked about teachers a little bit. We've seen at least they exist. We've talked about evangelists, where I believe the miracles and gifts of healings, where the evangelists would go. We've talked about pastors a little bit, and that's where I believe governments would go. And we've talked about the gifts of the Spirit, as I say, and that would be including this diversity of tongues and the other eight gifts of the Spirit. But the new thing here is helps, and I just want you to just flag that for right now, set it aside, and realize that here's a new gift that we'll be discussing later. Now notice where to covet these gifts, down in verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts. So the word, the Greek word for that is zeloti, and that's where we get our word zeal from. What it means here in coveting these gifts is we're to stir up these gifts in us. Don't let them ever burn low. Keep them burning brightly. Because folks, even though we've been given these gifts, we can let these things burn low in our lives if we're not careful. God calls us and gives us these gifts and expects us to use these gifts when he sends someone across our path, especially if we're the laity. But if we don't stir up these gifts once in a while, we may miss opportunities to minister that we shouldn't have. So we need to covet these gifts, and that word means zelote, zeal. Stir up the gift so they burn brightly. Exert yourself to complement the God-given part of the gift, which is the power and the anointing. See, God needs our help in this too. He gives us the power. He gives us the anointing. But he asks us to stir up these gifts. And so Romans 1:15 and 2 Timothy 1:6 go into more detail on this stirring up the gift. But I just want to mention right now that these gifts that are given to us, it's up to us to stir up these gifts. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're called to be a teacher, and God gives you the power and the anointing to stand in an office. Well, that gift is not going to go anywhere in ministry if the person that's called to this teaching gift doesn't respond to the Spirit's call to read and meditate the Word. In other words, God can call you to the ministry. He can give you the power to stand in that office. He can give you the anointing to stand in that office. But if we don't use our own abilities to study the Word of God, if you're called to be a teacher, you better know a little bit about the Word, a lot about the Word. And God doesn't just ram that down our throats. He doesn't instantly give us a knowledge of the Word of God. We have to work at that. Once we see we're called, once we understand that we have this gift and this power and this anointing in our lives, it's up to us to stir this gift up and keep it from burning down low. We need to keep that flame burning brightly. And one of the ways we do this, if you're called to the teaching gift, would be to study and meditate the Word of God. Now, whatever thing you're called to, whether it's apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or any of the gifts that we will be studying, God does a part in giving us the power and the anointing to operate in the gift, but we're going to have to do a part by responding to that power and anointing and by preparing ourselves to be used in this gift. Then once again, God tells us to use these gifts, in this case, he says, in a more excellent way. Now here's that oil again in the gift that I told you about. All of these gifts need to be operated in agape love. And I say agape love because there's several kinds of love in the Bible, but agape love is the God kind of love. That's the kind of love God is when it says God is love. The Greek for that is God is agape. And so we're to operate in this agape love when we minister these gifts. And as I said, I call this
the oil for our ministry. This is the thing that will make our ministry go forward smoothly, gently, lovingly, having a loving effect on the people and not just a harsh taskmaster type of approach to our ministry. It will put love in our ministry. But we need to put that love in there. That's why God's telling us. That's why he's saying here, I will show you a more excellent way to operate these ministries. Remember, he's talking about these ministries here in verse 28 and 29 and 30. And in verse 31, he says, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. That means a more excellent way of using these gifts. Well, what is that excellent way? Well, let's continue to read. Remember, when the Bible was written, it wasn't divided up into chapters and verses like we have it now for convenience. It was just one long letter Paul would write to 1 Corinthians. And it just flowed on like you would write a letter. And so there was no break here between verse 31 and verse 1 in chapter 13. It just continued. The letter continued without any breaks. So let's read it that way. But covet earnestly the best gifts, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. And then he goes on in verses 4 through 7, describing what this love is, the hallmarks of this love. Starts off in verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. This is what he expects out of anyone in the body of Christ, but especially so for those that are called to the ministry. And I'm not leaving anybody out here. Remember, Jesus gave us all the commandment of love. He said we're to love one another as he's loved us. That is the first and the great commandment. That is the only commandment that Jesus left us. It was the commandment of love. But folks, if you're called to the ministry, you really need to operate in this love. You really need to be careful as you're operating in love. You really need to major in love. That means for all the ones that are called, especially everybody, it's for every member of the body of Christ, but especially those called to the ministry, you need to suffer long and be kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. There's a good one. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. In verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So folks, here we have it again. The oil of your ministry. The oil that's going to provide the extra oomph to push your ministry through, besides having the power that God gives, and the anointing on that ministry that God gives, and the call that God gives, you need to do two things. Number one, you need to seek these gifts, and you need to let the fire burn brightly, and to prepare yourselves to be used in this ministry. And number two, you need to use this ministry in love. That's the oil of the ministry. That's the thing that will keep your ministry flowing smoothly, without undue bumps, scrapes, scratching. Remember here that in this first three verses where he says here, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, the tongues of men would be our normal language, of course. The tongues of angels he's speaking of. You're speaking in tongues. Though I speak in tongues and I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That simply means a discordant note, a note that doesn't fit in, a note that's out of sync with the rest of our ministry. We need that love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, I can prophesy and understand all mysteries. I have the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom working, and all knowledge, And though I have all faith, I have the word of faith working in my ministry, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, I'm a martyr. I've given away all my goods to feed the poor. If I don't do it in love, it profits me nothing. And so here we have again, folks, this oil of love that must go with any ministry that God calls us to. All right, let's go on now and turn to Romans chapter 12, and we'll finish off with the gifts that are listed here. And then that will complete our lesson. So Romans chapter 12, and let's start up in verse 3, and we'll read down through verse 8. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man." Now what did he deal to every man? The measure of faith. And we're going to find out it's the measure of faith to operate these gifts that follow. And I'll show you why I say that in just a moment. "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing," we don't all have the same gifts, "according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." See, he's talking about this faith up above in verse 3, where he said not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, because God has given to every man a measure of faith to operate the gifts that he's given that person. So if you've been given a gift, God is going to give you the faith to operate that gift. So we have a new ingredient that God gives us here. Not only does he give us the power and the anointing to operate the gift, he also gives us the faith to operate that gift. Verse 4 again, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace," talking about that grace of faith that's given to us, "whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." In other words, the proportion of faith that we've been given to operate this gift. "Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering." That means also minister in faith. "Or that he that teaches, on teaching." What on teaching? Operate it to the degree of faith God has given you. "Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation." What on exhortation? Operate that gift of exhortation with the faith that God gives you to operate it. "He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness." Now, we see here that we have another group of gifts given, some of them for the first time that we've seen these gifts. Now, one thing I'd like to say in discussing these gifts in Romans chapter 12 is I'd like to give you a little background on how these books were written. Romans was one of the earlier books written. It's the only book written to a place that Paul had never been. Also, Rome is the furthest from Jerusalem, where Paul traveled out of, remember, on his missionary journeys. It's the furthest. He never got there until he was imprisoned. And when this book was written, he hadn't been there yet. Now, the other two books we read scripture from, Ephesians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul had been there before. As a matter of fact, Ephesians was one of the later books he wrote. And so when he wrote that book to the church at Ephesus, he was writing to a more mature group of believers than he's writing to here in Romans. And Romans being less mature, not only because Paul had never been there, but because it was so far from Jerusalem that very few Christians had gotten that far. And so these churches in Rome are in a very primitive state compared to the churches he wrote to in Ephesus and even 1 Corinthians. So, I'm saying that simply because the churches here are home churches, really, in Rome. If you read back in Romans chapter 16, you're going to find out that he's talking to really five different home churches. Now, I'm not going to go into detail now. You can go back and read that for yourself. But these churches are not yet mature to the point of the churches he wrote to in Ephesus and even 1 Corinthians. So the reason I'm saying this is simply because the gifts that he talks about in this chapter are gifts that you would talk about when you're talking to a bunch of people that are in home churches just getting started, and they really have no idea what a pastor is, really. If you told them pastor, evangelist, apostle, prophet, or teacher, they wouldn't really know to the extent that these other churches did later and that were closer to Rome and that Paul had visited at least twice. Now, Paul had never been here before, and he's writing to them so they'll know something about the gifts that God will give them to organize these home churches. And so the reason I emphasize this is because we in the laity, those that are of you that are listening to these lessons that are not part of the full-time ministry gifts, in other words, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, in this list are giving, I believe, a lot of the gifts that are given to a fledgling church or the laity, so that they will operate smoothly in accordance with the Word of God. They're still anointed gifts. They're still gifts given by God to the body of Christ. But these churches here are home churches, not established to the degree that the churches in the other two books I read about were. And so I think it's very interesting to read this, understanding that the gifts that he's talking about here would apply to most of us in laity today, as we go about doing things God's called us to do. In other words, the fivefold ministry gifts hadn't been taught on until Ephesians chapter 4. And so they don't know anything about these fivefold ministry gifts. And so Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking to these people here in Rome and telling them the gifts that they need to nurture and to become mature in the body of Christ. And here they are. There are gifts called prophecy, and again he mentions prophecy here, and because I believe that he is trying to say that there's going to be nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to operate with these other gifts. But these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit will only operate once in a while as the Holy Spirit wills. In other words, he'll come upon them for the gift and then depart after the gift is manifested, like the word of wisdom or the word of knowledge or the gift of prophecy, whatever it might be. It's not a gift that resides on someone permanently. It's a gift that's only manifested occasionally as the Spirit wills. But yet they accompany the other gifts. Now let's read again what they are. Prophecy, ministry. Now we'll talk about later what this ministry means. Teaching. He that teaches, let him minister on teaching to the degree of faith that he has in that. This is the only gift that's mentioned in all three books that we've talked about here, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. And I believe that's for, because no matter what the fledgling church, how fledgling it might be, teaching is necessary. We don't yet need pastors per se. Teaching is something that even a fledgling church needs. Or he that exhorteth, there's a new gift, exhortation. Let him minister in that gift to the degree of faith that he has. He that giveth, there's another gift that we haven't discussed before. And you can see why these are more gifts that might be given to the laity. An exhorter, for example, an encourager, a person who gives. We're all going to need that. All churches need some givers. Now, everybody's supposed to give, but some people are anointed to give great amounts to the churches, the local churches that they go to, or to ministries that God moves upon them to give to. Let him do that with simplicity or liberality, it says in the margin. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, we're going to need some leaders even in a fledgling church, aren't we? We're going to need people to organize things to some degree. There's going to be a leader of the small group, and he's saying that's going to be a gift, and you need to do that with diligence. He that showeth mercy, there's a new gift too. Let him do that with cheerfulness. And so we see here, I believe, gifts that are more for either a fledgling church or the laity today. I think a lot of these gifts are gifts that are given to the laity, even to this day, that we need to operate in. A lot of you listening to this lesson out there have these gifts listed here in Romans chapter 12 that need to be nurtured and need to be acted upon. These are supernatural, a gift as apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. They are a supernatural gift where God will anoint members of the body of Christ to operate in these gifts, like giving, like showing mercy, like exhorting. All these are gifts that are in the church yet today. They all have God's anointing on them, and they are gifts that are manifested in the laity. They're not just full-time gifts in the ministry, the fivefold ministry gifts, but these are gifts you need to be cognizant of, because each one of us has some gifting. All the gifts that I've discussed here, each one of you listening to this lesson have some gifting, one or more of these giftings. And I'd like to emphasize these in Romans 12 as gifts that, if you're not called to the full-time ministry, you might check into some of these gifts: the gift of exhortation, the gift of giving, the gift of ruling, even in a local ministry or a home cell group or a Bible study, teaching, showing mercy. All of these, I think you need to pray about if you feel some stirring in your spirit about these gifts. And be aware that God is going to bring people across your path so that you can exercise these gifts that God's called you to minister in. Now, here again, in this chapter, as I said, the oil is mentioned, and that's the oil of agape love that we're to operate these giftings, these callings, these offices in. We're to operate in this agape love. And where is that in here? Well, if you just continue reading after verse 8, it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Folks, there's a lot in here. First of all, it says, let love be without dissimulation. That means let love be unfeigned. In other words, not faking it, not acting. You know how we know what it is when somebody fakes love. Do you know what I'm talking about there? When somebody, "Oh, brother, I love you so much. Give you a big hug," and all this, and you're really the furthest thing from them. When it comes to being standing in the gap for you or helping you when you're in need, these same people are nowhere to be found. I'm just talking about unfeigned love. He's saying here, let your love be unfeigned. That means unfaked. That means you walk in love toward your neighbor. You don't just talk love, you walk love. So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Stay clear of anything that would tarnish your ministry. Cleave to that which is good. Hold fast to the good things. Read the Word of God a lot. And that's when you're going to find out what the good things are. That's where you're going to find out what you're supposed to be doing. That's where you're going to find out how to walk in this agape love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Now listen, here's how you do it. In honor preferring one another. That means putting the other person first. So folks, I don't want to go on any further here. I've gone on long enough. So in these three chapters are all the gifts of the Lord Jesus Christ has given to the church, which I call administrations of the Lord based on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about the administrations of the Lord. In these three chapters, I've covered, I believe, all the gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ, as head of the church, has given to the church. Now, all of these gifts we're going to be talking about in future lessons in much more detail. But the purpose of this lesson was to set out the gifts so that when we read about these gifts, you've already heard about them to some degree. I think that's enough for today. This is the homework for lesson HBS 147. First question, there are blank chapters in the New Testament that list the ministry gifts. They are blank, blank, and blank. Fill in the blanks. Here they are. There are three chapters in the New Testament that list the ministry gifts. They are Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12. Next question, the one who gives men the ministry gifts is blank, who is also the blank of the blank. Filling in the blanks. The one who gives men the ministry gifts is Jesus, who is also
the head of the church. Next question. There are blank full-time ministries listed in blank. They are the blank, and you fill in the blanks. There are five full-time ministries listed in Ephesians 4. They are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. So in these blanks goes 5, Ephesians 4, and then write apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Next question. These blank ministries are often called the blank blank ministry and are the only blank blank ministries given to the church. Let's fill in the blanks. These five ministries are often called the fivefold ministry and are the only full-time ministries given to the church. Next question. Not all of these ministries listed here will be found in the church today, since the needs have changed since the early church was founded. Is this true or false? Well, folks, this is false. All of the fivefold ministries are in operation in the church to the present day, since there's always going to be people who need to know Christ or who will be babes in Christ. And if you want scripture for that, go back and read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. So the answer to this question is false. Next question. When God calls anyone to a specific office in the body of Christ, He expects them to seek the power that goes with the gift. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, folks. When God calls anyone to a specific office in the body of Christ, He gives them the power and the anointing to operate in that gift or ministry. So that's why this question is false. We don't seek the power. God gives it to us. That is, if we're called to the ministry. Next question, true or false? If we truly desire a ministry, God will give it to us if we will just pray and believe God. Is this true or false? Well, I think it's obvious. This is false. The power to function effectively in any ministry comes with the call to the ministry, and that can only be given by God. So we don't just desire a ministry and have it. We have to be called to the ministry, and that's why this question is false. Next question. The thing the Bible lists as necessary for the ministry gifts to function smoothly is patience. Is this true or false? Well, this is also false, because in each case where the ministry gifts are given in these three chapters, agape love is listed as a requisite for the gift, not patience. So that's why this question is false. Name four ministry gifts not listed above. That means not those in the full-time ministry, which are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and that are not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Jesus gives. That's a little confusing, but what I'm saying here is I want you to give me four ministry gifts in these three chapters that we've talked about that are not listed above, that is, are not the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and are not one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that Jesus gives. You got to give me four other ones. Now, they could be these, any one of these. Giving, that's in Romans 12, remember. Helps was in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Exhortation was given in Romans 12. Ministry, also given in Romans 12, which we'll discuss later. And showing mercy. So any of those five I've given you, you could put in here for the four that I request. And I'll say they are giving, helps, exhortation, ministry, or showing mercy. Any one of those five you can put in here in these four blanks. Next question, true or false? If we're not called to the full-time ministry, we probably have one or more of these gifts. And the answer to that question is true. Folks, we're all called to do something. And if we don't find ourselves in the fivefold ministry gifts, we're going to have some other gift. And there's not going to be many of us that are called to the full-time ministry. How many people do you just see every day that are an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher? Not many. So if we're not called to the full-time ministry, we probably have one or more of these gifts. That is, giving, helps, exhortation, ministry, which we'll talk about later, or showing mercy. So the answer to this question then is true. If we're not called to the full-time ministry, we probably have one or more of those five gifts that I just mentioned. Next question, true or false? If we have one of these gifts, we should just wait patiently for God to use the gift through us. Is that true or false? Well, that is false, folks. We don't just wait patiently for God to use the gift through us, and that'll be obvious in the next question. Next question, true or false? No, we must prepare ourselves so we are ready. That always includes reading and meditating the Word, for the Word contains God's instructions to the body of Christ and will renew our mind so we have the mind of Christ. Is that true or false? That is true. And if you want scripture on that, just read Romans 12:2 and 1 Corinthians 2:16. Next question. It is blank who works within us to blank and to blank of his good pleasure. But blank are the ones who must step out in faith and use the gift or ministry he has given us. What goes in those blanks? Well, let's read it with the blanks filled in. It is God who works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it tells us that in Philippians 2:13. But we are the ones who must step out in faith and use the gift or ministry he has given us. So in these blanks goes God, will, do, and we. Next question. In Romans 12:1, it says we are also to blank our blank to God so he can use us. Let's fill in those blanks. In Romans 12:1, it says we are also to present our bodies to God so he can use us. Folks, it's up to us to present our bodies to God. He doesn't just force us to do anything. He does call us, and he does give us the power and anointing to operate in the gift. But some things are up to us, folks. We have to step out in faith and use the gift or ministry and the power he's given us to use that gift. So it's not all on God. We have some things to do, too. And one of those things we do is to present our bodies to God so he can use us, as it says in Romans 12:1. Next question. We are instructed to use these gifts in the more excellent way, which is in blank. Well, that'll be pretty easy. Let's fill it in. We are instructed to use these gifts in the more excellent way, as it says in the King James, in 1 Corinthians 12:31, which is in love. So in that blank goes love. Next question. Then God follows immediately this instruction, that is to walk in love, with a whole blank on how we are to blank this. Let's fill in the blanks. Then God follows immediately this instruction with a whole chapter on how we are to do this. And what is that chapter, folks? That's not one of the blanks you fill in, but it is 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. So God gives us a whole chapter on how we're supposed to walk in love. So in these two blanks goes chapter and do. Next question. Name three things this passage tells us we are to do if we are to walk in love. And that passage, of course, as I said, is 1 Corinthians 13. Just give me any three things that this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us to do. Well, if you read it in verses 4 through 7, it gives the things that we are to do if we are to walk in love. And I'll just read them from the King James, starting with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. So, folks, any of those things in there, and there's several, you could put in these three blanks. So three things that could go in there are any of the things listed in 1 Corinthians
through 7. And so I'm going to let you read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, and put in any of those several things that tells us how we are to walk in love. So I'll let you do that. Next question, true or false? No one of us, or even another, can give ourselves a spiritual gift or ministry, for these are given by Jesus. Is that true or false? Well, that is true, folks. No one of us, or even another person, can give us a spiritual gift or a ministry. Those are given by God, as He chooses, when He chooses. In the case of the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit manifests those gifts as He wills, whenever He wills. We can't dredge these gifts up and use them anytime we want. And as far as the other ministries go, like the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, or even the gifts given to the laity, such as giving, helps, exhortation, showing mercy, and all of that, not one of us can give ourselves these spiritual gifts or ministries, for these are only given by Jesus. So this question is true. And the last question, true or false? But it is up to us to prepare for using this gift or ministry by presenting our bodies to God, renewing our minds in the Word, and then walking in love as we exercise the gift or ministry. And I think everybody's going to get that right, because we all know that is true. Well, that then completes the homework questions I had for this lesson.